We have a really cool show for you today. We're at Tabacon Cigars and Spirits in Plantation.
Let the Latin pronounce the name of the place, please.
That dude speaks less Spanish than I do. Tabacon Cigars and Spirits, Plantation Walk. It's Whiskey Stars and Cigars, 560 WQAM's event that we have been trying to have for a couple of months now, but the weather
and
has,
it started to rain.
I know,
since I walked
but
in
at
here.
Least it's not a hurricane, and we finally get it underway, and that's a good feeling. So, Whiskey Stars and Cigars will be tonight here at Plantation Walk, and the entire 560 WQAM staff is going to be out here. Joe Rose, Leroy Horde, Brendan Tobin, Jay Figg. Obviously, I'm here. Solana's with me. Jimmy's with me. Going to be a really fun night, and we invite everyone to come on out. It'll be in Plantation tonight, 6 o'clock, kind of a little mix and mingle, and then 7 p.m., there'll be a couple of different panels talking sports. I'm going to be talking McRibs, because that, to me, is the big breaking news. So here's the situation for today. Gino Toretta's going to sit in with us for a while. Crowder is in New York. As we mentioned this week, he's got the Sports Business Journal panel. It's a big event up in New York, and the Pivot is being honored up there for that. So he's doing that. Gino Toretta is kind enough to sit in for a little while on the show. I replaced a starting NFL linebacker with a Heisman Trophy winner. I think I'll take the Heisman Trophy winner every time. And Solana's here. Jimmy's here. Josh Appel will join us here around 4 o'clock. He'll sit in then, and we'll have some fun. Rob Pizzola is going to join us from the great nation of Canada, and we will talk a little sports gambling with him.
How's he doing this season?
Who, Pizzola?
Yeah,
He literally, people don't understand it, because a lot of times
I enjoy listening to him because he's Italian.
He's great. I love him. He's one of my top five radio guests of all time. He can talk about anything. Here's the thing about Pizzola that I find fascinating. He literally is a professional sports gambler. So when he comes on, it's not like the typical tout who's coming on to try to sell you a subscription to their picks. He literally is selling nothing. He just does it because we've become friendly over the years.
He's picking for himself.
He pays his bills by gambling on sports. He has done it for a long time. He studied economics. His father is an economist. His father was mortified that he went into professional gambling and used his economics, prowess to further himself in sports gambling rather than a traditional economics degree. But he found himself gravitating towards that. So he does well. Now, he'll fluctuate week by week, but he starts every season with a bankroll, and that's his career. I mean, it's literally
awesome
what he does. So, and he is mortified by my gambling, because my gambling, he does it with everything he does has a mathematical edge.
He has rules.
He does.
And he has certain things he shies away
from. He doesn't
from.
Play from his gut like
you,
I do.
You, I listen to you and some of your decisions to bet. It's kind of like, I'm bored. I have to
yes,
bet.
Yes.
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 And that's not always a good thing.
He hates it. It's it's the antithesis of what he's all about, because I don't know anything about a mathematical edge. I don't know if it's a good line, a bad line. I don't shop the line. You know what I mean?
I remember investment analyst that I worked, he was a colleague through another business, and he left the business
to
and went
that.
In the baseball analytics with DraftKings. Remember with the fantasy baseball?
Yeah.
I think he ended up winning seven figures, and now you're seeing a lot of MIT guys that are
and if you have a proclivity towards mathematics and sports, you can, or poker. I mean, a lot of these poker players, I used to sit down at a poker table when it was hot. I would sit down at a poker table. I would get my ass handed to me because I don't know.
You were just going for entertainment.
I was going for, maybe I'll pull three sevens on the ring.
You didn't know there was odds and probabilities that those dudes had memorized backwards.
And I didn't know that they knew exactly what I was holding, because
I want to keep that to yourself.
Really, it's really what makes me.
You're devaluing my University of Miami degree.
I lean into it. I try to lean into it. So we're at Whiskey Stars and Cigars. I'm wearing a Swisher Sweets shirt because I'm a big proponent of Swisher Sweets. And we'll talk some cigars and whiskey today and football with Gino. And we'll have some other great people stopping by. There was a bit of news that jumped out at me this morning, which was Adam Schefter. He reported that Ray Lewis was one of the finalists for the FAU football job. And I was like, wow, this is great. And then I got the McRib news, and everything paled
Trump
in comparison.
Trump saw.
It's really, for me, you know how I feel about the McRib. You love the McRib.
No question.
Right? It
one
is.
One of my favorite.
Now, what makes the McRib so special?
The sauce.
The sauce, of course. And they soak it in that sauce. It is a plank of pork. McDonald's doesn't even take the time to
pork
make it.
Pork might be a compliment, but
right.
We'll move on.
McDonald's used to take the time to kind of make it look like a mini slab of ribs.
Somebody had pulled the ribs out.
They would have, like, indentations. Like, they don't even do that anymore. It is just a rectangle of pork. But they slather it in this sauce, and it's crazy good. And McDonald's announced today, not only is the McRib coming back on December 3rd, so don't eat too much on Thanksgiving, because you got to have some space a week later, because we're going all in on the McRib. But McDonald's is selling gallon jugs of the McRib sauce. It's going to be on a website, and it's going to be first come, first serve. I'm actually.
When do they start?
I believe.
Can you give me one? Because I'll forget.
Well, I'm going to try hard.
Just
I'm setting it up as if it was like, I don't know, a Bitcoin mining situation, you know, where they have millions of computers,
right.
and they're trying to mine for as much Bitcoin as they. I'm setting up that system to try to get as many gallon jugs of the McRib sauce as I possibly can, because obviously that's.
Have you figured out the Bitcoin thing yet? I'm in the investment business and still haven't figured out.
So I'll tell you, Rob Pizzola is big into crypto. He's been into crypto for a long time. I happened to buy Ether. In 2017. And so I've been sitting on that for a while. So,
is that good?
Yeah, it's doing very well. It's second in command to Bitcoin. Ether is
So what's your selling point? What's your sales number?
I want to see it up at where Bitcoin is, up in the 90,000s. You know, when I bought it was in the 600s. It's in the 3,000s now, but I want to see it up in the okay. 90,000.
Right.
This is a long term play for me.
Okay.
Long term play.
Do you know what it does?
No, but Ether apparently is very important to the blockchain of crypto.
Okay,
so
I don't know
but,
what that means.
But none of
them, I'm just curious.
None of them have an intrinsic value. I mean, none of them have the.
But you're comfortable investing in that and not Microsoft.
I have plenty of investments in traditional equities. What my broker had told me years ago, and I really don't use a broker. I trade on my own just for fun. But I've had investments since we got married. I have Apple probably at $21. That's split a million times over. But he said to me, if you have a little fun money, this was when Bitcoin was coming to be, and he said, if you have a little fun money. Take some, put it in Ether, so you're not, I think Bitcoin was at like 30,000 at that point. So he's like, put it in Ether, Ethereum, everybody calls it Ether now, but Ethereum, and it's fun money and just forget about it. And that's what I've done.
Okay.
So, Pizzola can tell you all about crypto, though. He's gone big in crypto. Regardless, the Ray Lewis news intrigued me, but the McRib news trumped all of that. And I am so very excited that the McRib is coming
back. The first thing I think of the Ray Lewis news, was the ink dry on the termination?
For Tom Herman?
Tom Herman? I mean, like, you already have a finalist list of replacements?
I have seen subsequent reporting that says he's not getting the FAU job. But I don't know. It seems like,
I mean, that just seems like pretty fast that you've come out with the finalist list. And the ink's not even dry, and the guy hasn't even, like, pulled out of the parking lot yet, it seems
I mean, the guy stunk, didn't he? I mean, they had a terrible record under
he was the cat's meow when he was at Ohio State, then went to Texas. And
there's been a couple little mini runs where FAU's made a little bit of noise in football and then have petered out pretty quickly. They had a nice little run to the Final Four in basketball, though.
Yes, they did.
Dusty May. Gino is going to be on the call this weekend for who? UCLA and USC?
UCLA and USC.
Oh, you love the West Coast. So, but you'll.
I don't love a 10:30 Eastern kick.
I mean, but you'll be on West Coast time.
No, my body will be on East Coast time.
Well, listen,
and I can't take the red eye home.
You stop by In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, there's no question In-N-Out. That might be, I think the In-N-Out just outside of LAX is the busiest In-N-Out in their system.
You know, they're building the biggest In-N-Out in the world in Vegas.
Really?
And it's like 20,000 square feet.
There's nothing wrong with the one you go to right behind the Strip right now.
Right behind the Strip, right behind it.
I mean, that's what people tell me. I don't know if I've ever gone.
I may have been there a time or two. Well, let's do headlines because we're out at Tabacón Cigars and Spirits, and we're going to be out here till 6 o'clock doing the show. And then at 6 o'clock, Whiskey Stars and Cigars will get underway, and we'll have some fun tonight for all the QAM listeners who want to come out and join in on the fun.
Zach Krantz just texted us.
What did he say?
Ray is not a candidate. Maybe that's more from Ray.
I did see a follow-up story that said, yeah, he's not going to get the job.
Why didn't you call Tom D'Angelo? You know he knows everything Palm Beach.
Is Tom D'Angelo still writing for the Palm Beach Post?
Yes, he is.
God bless
Palm
Tom
Beach
D'Angelo.
Post doesn't cover the Miami Hurricanes, I don't think.
I love Tom D'Angelo. I love the Palm Beach Post.
He's the best.
You ever read Frank Cherubino in the Palm Beach Post?
No, but he's got a good name. He's got to be Italian.
Longtime columnist, but general columnist, not sports columnist, general columnist. But he plays live music outside my apartment in downtown Boca, a little French place on Friday nights. He's like a one of those guys that does a little bit of everything,
jack of all trades.
And I'm seeing this guy play a little saxophone, and I said to my wife, I go, I think that's Frank Cherubino. Sure as hell, it's Frank Cherubino playing live music at Tartalette. Anyway. I digress. Let's start today with headlines and our friend Alejandro Solana.
You got a little bit of that in you as well, jack of all trades, but instead of playing a sax, you collect tubs of McRib sauce.
Well, hopefully. My fingers are crossed. I mean, this is a new endeavor for everyone.
You don't know the name Edwin Pope. He used to get Edwin's autograph in the Orange Bowl.
I love Edwin Pope. He is the godfather of sports journalism in Miami.
All right, so the Panthers, we'll start with some local news. The Panthers, they lost to Winnipeg last night. They shut them out here at Amerant Bank Arena, but then went up to Winnipeg. You know, I was very uneasy about this whole situation, a home-and-home.
It threw you off.
In South Florida and then in Canada. Very weird situation.
Threw you off.
Winnipeg got the best of the Cats last night, 6-3. Even though Panthers, third period, hit the post like four times.
Yep.
Could have won that game. They're off today. They're in Chicago tomorrow. Chicago, Illinois, as Jimmy would say.
As Jimmy would say, Illinois.
8:30 p.m.
I mean, this is who I surround myself with, Gino. The other day on the air, Solana thought the moon was a star.
Allegedly.
Did he just watch the Martha Stewart documentary?
I don't know.
Constellation.
I don't know where it came from, but he thought the moon was a star.
That's something somewhere. It's up there, like,
up there.
You know,
it's a celestial. it's a celestial thing.
It's not here.
It's not a star.
Do you know, all we really learned is that Hawk believes Wikipedia.
Educated in South Florida.
I wasn't even on.
Educated in South Florida, Solana.
He got waitlisted at UCF. That's not even a joke. Have you ever met anyone who was waitlisted at UCF?
Why do you tell everybody that?
Is there 65,000 students at
UCF? They've never waitlisted a person because there's too many slots to waitlist someone. He probably wrote on his...
Hold on. Let me look at the application. Pulse? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let him in.
But then they go, let's look deeper into this one. This guy's writing about the moon being a star. They're like, we can't in good conscience.
You don't have to tell everybody that I got waitlisted.
I'm just telling Gino. He's a friend of the
show.
Tell
him, Solana. Pause up.
There's some Dolphins notes, but I love this story right now, so... You know, Daniel Jones, Gino, benched in New York.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Daniel Jones benched 300 pounds or something. I was like, what? Yes, Daniel Jones. They went to the third-team quarterback.
Well, how about this? They're trying to phrase this as they're shutting him down. Here were the quarterbacks in order taking reps today at practice. Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito, of course.
Big fan. Gino loves him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Drew Locke, second.
All right.
Tim Boyle, third.
Our guy?
Our guy, Tim Boyle.
Literally the worst.
Boyle rules.
Worst Dolphins quarterback I have ever seen.
Well, at least the GM still has a job up there, one of them in New York.
Nah, Giants does, yeah, not the Jets.
Not the Jets guy. Yeah.
But you saw the report.
Well, they're shutting him down because he's got a guarantee for injury at like 40. If he doesn't get injured, then his guarantee is only 20. So the owner made a, you know, they say those business decisions.
That's
when the guy runs
decision.
Out of bounds. Said, let's make a business decision.
They should have made a better business decision when they signed him for $240 million.
Did you see the Hard Knocks offseason?
With
the one
Saquon.
Meeting, and the owner goes, but Saquon is our fans' favorite player. And the GM said, well, I don't want a $40 million quarterback handed off to a $10 million running back. I'm like, don't get mad at the economics.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
Why not have two great players in the same backfield?
Yeah, they kind of screwed that up.
Yeah. Or maybe one great player.
There was a report today from Diana Russini and Zach Rosenblatt, who write for the Athletic, some more information behind the scenes of what went wrong with Joe Douglas, the general manager, Robert Saleh. So apparently, after the Jets lost a Week 4 game to the Broncos, Woody Johnson, the owner, suggested to the entire coaching staff and the general manager that they should bench Aaron Rodgers. And in this story, they write, the idea of benching the future Hall of Famer sounded so absurd, one coach asked whether the owner was serious or not.
So, oh, I would ask the same question. That's ridiculous. After the fourth game? That's ridiculous. I cannot imagine that.
I can't imagine an owner even.
You know what? That's,
forget Aaron Rodgers. An owner being in that meeting? Outside of Jerry Jones and maybe Al Davis?
Right.
That would be the only two I would think that
it,
are.
It almost strikes me as the Stephen Ross BS that he told Brian Flores to tank games, and it was like probably a flippant comedic comment.
We should have sucked for luck. And I will go to my grave on that.
He's not playing anymore either. We tanked for Tua, and we got, in my opinion, the best quarterback in that draft class.
But look,
they tried to suck for luck, to be fair. Do you remember the guys they were putting out there on the roster? They had 40 names nobody had ever heard of, Gino, except Brian Flores found out how to win games with those guys. They beat the Bengals. Bengals that year. Which
they weren't sucking for luck during the Brian Flores era. That was way before.
That was probably Philbin. I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that was for
way
Phil Burrow,
before. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That was before you were getting your UCF deferral letter.
All right.
Hey, I was still on the radio back then.
Can you imagine how many?
I remember a show we did. Me and Steve White did a show on advertising patches. Are they going to put them on uniforms? And I remember mentioning that was when Henny was the quarterback. And I go, they should sell one that says Jack Daniels because we're better than your quarterback.
He loves Henny. That's it. He bought a Chad Henny jersey.
Last Dolphins jersey I bought before Tua, before the Uno. Was Chad Henne. I refuse to buy another.
You should be ashamed you bought any of them.
That's why he got waitlisted at UCF. They're like, double check, cross check this guy with the list of people who bought the Chad Henne jerseys. They're like, oh, we got a match? Yeah, waitlist them.
Here's some Miami Dolphins notes. Kendall Fuller remains in concussion protocol. So Mike McDaniel said, quote, pessimistic about him playing Sunday versus New England. Listen, doesn't matter. I mean, I hope Kendall Fuller gets healthy. They don't need Kendall Fuller to beat the New England Patriots on Sunday.
Agreed. I think they should roll them with no problem. But I am bad bet bunny.
Bet so, accordingly.
Yeah, bet accordingly.
Don't expect Bradley Chubb and Cam Good to return to practice just yet. That's what Barry Jackson wrote in the Miami Herald. That's what McDaniel essentially said today. Dolphins, Patriots, Sunday, 1 p.m., Hard Rock Stadium. And in the NBA, the big news, the Celtics ended the Cavs' unbeaten streak at 15. They beat them yesterday, 120-117, an NBA Cup game as well. And the Celtics put an end to one of the greatest starts ever in the NBA.
Bet the house on Cleveland over New Orleans tonight.
You had Celtics yesterday, and you were right.
Bet the house on the Cavs over New Orleans. What's the line on that?
Don't ever listen to this man's betting advice.
I'm bad bet bunny.
I think you bet the Marlins like 8 games in a row, the start of, what is it, last season or 2 years ago, and you're like, They can't lose six in a row. They can't lose seven in a row.
You want to know? You want to hear something funny?
Can't lose eight in a row.
You want to hear something funny? So a couple weeks ago, I went on an 0-for-16 run.
Oh, my God.
Gambling, which is really difficult to do. And we had Rob Bizzola on. And I had been texting with him the night before when I went 0-for-16. And he came on and he said, by the way, I did the math. I figured it out. He said, that's 50,000 to 1. To go 0-for-16.
I know, you should have parlayed your opposites.
And Ryan Sense, who owns Funky Buddha Brewery, heard that. And my wife texted me as I was driving over here today. We got a package in the mail. Ryan had made for me
Gamblers Anonymous
wine glasses that say 1 in 50,000. And he said in the note, it says, when you gamble and enjoy your Aperol Spritz, here's a little something for you to drink out of. So I have a 1 in 50,000 wine glass.
By the way, our good friend Zach Krantz just texted me. He wants a cut because Racing Boats PR is back in business. So I want it back on the radio.
Finally, guys, Gino, I think you'll love this. The Tarts Bowl is introducing three new mascots this year. You remember last year, edible Pop-Tart mascot changed the college football landscape forever.
Except it wasn't really the edible Pop-Tart mascot.
Just everybody knows Pop-Tarts, everybody enjoyed them. I mean, come on.
But it's just, they did this whole thing that it's the first ever edible mascot. They had a Pop-Tart mascot all game long. And then at the end, it was just a giant Pop-Tart, and we had to pretend like that was the mascot we saw. And it was such false advertising.
Hating on Pop-Tarts.
I'm not hating on Pop-Tarts.
So what are the new flavors for the mascots? Solana, hey, you're
Frosted.
Over here doing a show.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, what are you doing, Solana? We're talking to you.
I'm here.
It's your bit. I'm asking you. I'm here. Who are the other people?
Yeah, what are you doing? Why? He's like a monkey who gets he's following the bright light around.
I didn't know we could rip grits in here. My guy just pulled one out. Frosted Hot Fudge
Sundae.
I mean,
it's a smoking
what's
place.
Grits? What's rip grits?
Heater.
Grits.
Huh?
Cigarettes.
Lung dart.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little dart.
It's a
smoking
place.
You want a dart? You want me to get you a dart?
No.
You know?
No. I love cigars. I just
you like Swisher Sweet.
Brush my teeth 5 times after to get rid of it.
About a grape Swisher Sweet.
Yeah. Solid. In an MD 2020 on ice.
Give me a Cisco and a Swisher Sweet. Oh, I'm good to go.
Old E800. 8 ball. Give me a quart.
Brass Monkey.
Frosted Hot Fudge Sundae.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Frosted Wild Berry Sundae.
Oh, I'm a fan of the berries.
I don't like that. No.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
That's white frosting. The first one's the chocolate cake and then the dark frosting.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You just said you liked it.
No, I like the the chocolate sundae one.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I don't like the berries.
The first one. Come on.
Yeah. And the third, this is where it gets, you know, a little cutesy, as Hawk would say, a mystery flavor. And the MVP of the game is going to get to decide which flavor gets consumed by the winning team.
Ah.
What about fig? What about a fig?
Like a fig Newton?
Like a fig Newton, but I mean, a top tart.
Yeah,
top-tart.
Sure. If you want to sell 5 total. I mean, a fig?
Have you ever had cooked figs? Unbelievable.
A fig?
Unbelievable.
I mean, you got to be kidding.
A fig's a fruit.
Yeah. I know what a fig is.
No, you don't.
I've had fig Newton.
You think SpaghettiOs is pasta.
It is. Pairs nicely with an Aperol Spritz.
So bad.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. A little bit of rain right now, but it's supposed to subside. So we're supposed to have clear weather tonight here at Tabacon in Plantation.
Very good.
You know what I love? The weather report. Normally people probably go to weather.com have something on their computer. This is the forecast.
Solana
just looked outside. Yeah, cloudy.
Most
rain.
Most of the time his weather report is, it's pretty nice out. That's what he says, and then he continues on as if that was a genuine weather report.
For 5 months of the year, you should just say, it's hot as you know what outside. Let's move on.
Gino, I thought the moon was a star. The hell are people listening to me for the weather? That's on them.
Fair point. It's a fair point.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Yeah, how much for one rib?
Hawk and Crowder.
Gino Toretta, the legendary Heisman Trophy winning Miami Hurricane, is next to me here. By the way, I should bring you on officially because Gino is the ambassador for Evening's Delight. Usually he joins us on Thursdays, but since we're out here for Whiskey Stars and Cigars today, he came out today. Gino is the ambassador for Evening's Delight. I see Hamp, the owner of Evening's Delight, over there. South Florida's source for all your outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. They've got a full line of grills, smokers, and more. Evening's Delight has two locations, Pinecrest and Davie, and traditions are better with Traeger. So grab a Traeger grill during the holiday sale. Add wood-fired flavor to your festivities from November 20th through December 24th. You can get up to $400 off select Traeger grills, plus save on pellets, rubs, and more. And I wasn't here. You were with us in the first segment, but I wasn't here last week. I know Solana was filling in for me, so I haven't spoken to you about the Georgia Tech game. So for Miami, that was the stumble. We've talked about it, to get through a season undefeated. Very difficult. There's probably a stumble. So you've had a week and a half to marinate on it or whatever. Was there anything that jumped out at you from that loss? I mean, Crowder's take on it was, hey, they played a game that, you know, prevented Cam Ward from essentially going out there and being able to fix everything because they slowed it down a little bit.
Well, I think when we talked before the game, I think it was exactly what I said. The risk is Georgia Tech can play ball control offense as good as anybody in the country. They did it against Florida State in the first game of the year and beat them. And, yeah, the offense just didn't have enough opportunities. And when you don't have enough opportunities, you know, Miami's probably, I think they're number one in the country, third down conversion. They were only 3 for 10. You know, you go on kind of a streaks, and you like to be in third down and short. They got behind the chains, and, you know, they went for it a couple times on fourth down, didn't get it, and, yeah, Georgia Tech played the exact game you needed to play. Basically, keep the ball out of Miami's offense's hands, and you go from there. And I think that, you know, we have to figure that out. Other teams are going to try to do it. I mean, you know, Wake's going to try to do it this week. I don't think they have the personnel that Georgia Tech does. I think that Georgia Tech's a lot better team than their record indicates. But I think with Miami, what you have to look at is start of the season, what's the goal? Get to the conference championship game, get in the playoffs. You win the conference, get in the playoffs with a bye. All of those goals are still there. I mean, they win out, they go to the ACC championship game, they win that game, they get a first-round bye, and they're in the playoffs. So I think that, you know, that's the way you have to look at it, and I think that they can't worry about anything else. I know there's some two-loss teams that are ranked ahead of them in the playoff ranking. And, you know, Hawk, this would go back to when we were school. We didn't care. We weren't in a conference. We didn't care what anybody else did. It was, if we didn't take care of our own business, we didn't get in that game. So that's what this team has to do is, you know what, who cares what the SEC is doing, how many teams they get in, the Big Ten, whatever. It's went out, and you're in the playoffs. You're right where you set out to be in last spring.
Which I'm imagining is what Mario is saying to the team, and that's the situation I think any athlete wants to be in, right? I mean, I can control my own destiny.
Yeah, they just can't sleep. But you know what I mean? You can't worry about the ACC only getting one team in. It's just like, screw it. Just be the one team. Just go out there and win the conference,
right?
And you're in.
Well, so either of those games then, Wake Forest doesn't sound like it scares you at all. How about Syracuse to end the season?
Because Syracuse is tough. They played us tough when I was a senior. We had a lot more talent than they did, and we barely scraped by. I think we won by 3 my senior year. So, yeah, they're all going to be tough. I mean, it's why you play the game. I think the difference in college football, why it's been such a great season this season, is there's not the depth across the board. Some of these dominant teams, the backups at Georgia, Alabama, they've transferred. So they don't have. So you might get an injury, and then all of a sudden, hell, Vanderbilt's got some pretty decent players, and they beat Alabama. So I think that does every week scare me? Yeah, I think every week is an opportunity to lose. But you look at it from Miami's point of view is, you know what? Everything, we control our own destiny, and it's on us.
What did the loss to Georgia Tech do to Cam Ward's chances of winning the Heisman?
You know, I think it may have taken a little bit of a hit the bye week is definitely not helped, you know, because he had a week off and wasn't in the viewing of the public. And then Travis Hunter had, you know, whatever, a bunch of catches and interception, but a couple touchdowns. So I think that, you know, you hate to be in the stretch run of a Heisman race and you're taking weeks off, or you have a bye week and you're just not there in front of people, because, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's a popularity contest of, okay, who's performing the best at the end of the season, and you're out of sight, out of mind if you're not playing.
Did you watch the Tyson-Jake Paul fight?
You know, I tried. I said there was a lot of this going on, buffering,
if you will.
I was in Arkansas, and we were out at a restaurant, and we had phones on it. We had the
nobody
TV
could get connected.
It. No, we got it, and then it was like one phone got it, and it was already a few rounds in. So this was my take on it. If Tyson could have moved, his right knee was banged up bad. I don't care what anybody
Roy
said.
Jones kept saying on the broadcast,
he couldn't
watch
move.
His legs.
He couldn't
his
move.
His legs are done.
But it wasn't – his right leg, he could not move. And you sit there and you watch the other guy. He couldn't hit him. I mean, Tyson still had that wiggle that the boxers have of, okay, he's seeing –
I mean, it's muscle memory.
Yeah, he's seeing where punches are coming from. He was deflecting. He couldn't hit him. I thought if Tyson could have just – if he could have gotten into him fast enough, I thought he could have taken him. But, you know, hell at 60. God bless.
I mean, did it make you – Solana said it kind of made him sad. Now, he never watched Tyson in his prime. It didn't make me sad because I knew he was 58. I know what happens as you get older. Like, I wasn't expecting to see Sugar Ray Leonard in a Team USA boxing event, you know, for the Olympics. Like, it kind of looked the way that I had anticipated it looked.
I don't know. It was more – I would just say this. It was more – sad from the standpoint, it's more of a spectacle than we grew up of Hagler-Hearns being the greatest fight of three rounds you'd ever watch, and Sugar Ray and Tyson and Holmes and those guys. I mean, that was like the grand – time of boxing. I just thought it was a spectacle,
which was
and
fun.
It wasn't
for me.
It
was fun.
Yeah, I didn't pay for it. I mean, but back in our day, remember, you had to find some place, you had to with the satellite to pay $50,
which then, was unheard of back in the day. $50, like, to watch a sporting event.
So, you know, it is what it is. It entertained people. Did what it was supposed to do.
That's pretty much the motto of this show. It is what it is. We try to entertain people. Sometimes it buffers. Sometimes it doesn't. Gino Toretta, you're going to stick with us a little bit longer, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. We're at Tabacon Cigars and Spirits in Plantation. Tonight is the big Whiskey Stars and Cigars event.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
We'll break down some bowel movements here in a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Hawk and Crowder.